Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
Fellas, you know Degree Cool Rush deodorant, right? Well, last year they changed the formula, and guys were mad about it. One dude even started a petition. So guess what? Degree heard us, admitted they messed up, and brought the original Cool Rush scent back exactly how it was. And it's in Walmart, Target, and other stores now for under $4. So grab some and remember why its cool, crisp, and fresh scent made it the number one men's antiperspirant for the last decade. Degree Cool Rush is back, and it smells like victory for all of us.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to One Nation. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. I am Brian Kilmeade. Let's get started. Coming up on the show tonight, among my great roster of guests, making his first appearance as ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee. He used to call him governor and colleague. And Joe Piscopo, best-selling book out. He's going to do the media moments that matter. And we got the co-host quiz. I'm actually going to be a contestant on that. And Lawrence Jones will actually be the host. But first, the fastest, most impactful monologue in America. This week's theme, no respect.
It's the story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all. No respect at all.
Yes, like Rodney Dangerfield, President Donald Trump gets no respect from the big networks. Still. Now, I thought after the profound win in November, the sequel would be a little bit different. That legacy media would understand that 2016 was not a fluke and his historic comeback would lead to a traditional presidential deference treatment. Remember, Trump term one, the media couldn't believe that he won. They couldn't accept it. Here's the proof.
Since you are attacking our news organization, can you give...
If I may ask one question, Mr. President, right? If I may ask one other question, are you worried about...
That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Pardon me, ma'am.
A lot of people did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals.
For some tough questions...
You're going to be fair.
I'm going to be fair.
Just be fair. Created the greatest economy in the history of our country, and the other side.
You know that. You know that's not true.
It is totally true.
No. Will you please like me? Please, please.
Oh, I didn't say that. You know, that's so misleading the way I say jokingly. The way you said that is why people think of you and everyone else as fake news.
Look, I'm not saying you shouldn't be direct. I'm not saying your question shouldn't be strong. But in my view, you just heard disrespect. Disrespect to President Trump and disrespect to the office. You know, color me naive, but after 100 days in office and with nearly 100 executive orders under his belt already, complete border security, I mean complete, stopping DEI, getting men out of women's sports, attacking anti-Semitism head-on, and anti-Americanism in higher education, just to name a few, he's got some accomplishment. I thought after that, maybe, just maybe, we'd get some respect that his predecessor actually got every single time or the few times he did interviews. This is Joe Biden sitting down with mainstream media.
They didn't tell you that they wanted troops to stay?
No, not in terms of whether we were going to get out in a time frame all troops. They didn't argue against that.
Your military advisors did not tell you, no, we should just keep 2,500 troops. It's been a stable situation for the last several years. We can do that. We can continue to do that.
No, no one said that to me that I can recall.
So case closed, right? He said, I can't recall. Well, that's a blatant lie. We know in retrospect it's a blatant lie, but he got away with it. With George Stephanopoulos, right? Well, who would have thought? Obviously, a Democrat by trade. But Trump, on the other hand, has never been able to garner that type of politeness, the courtesy, from any network. Let's not forget the debate. Kamala Harris on ABC.
They have abortion in the ninth month. They even have, and you can look at the governor of West Virginia, the previous governor of West Virginia, not the current governor, who's doing an excellent job, but the governor before, he said the baby will be born and we will decide what to do with the baby. In other words, we'll execute the baby.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born.
Crime here is up and through the roof, despite their fraudulent statements that they made.
President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country.
Yeah. By the way, that was wrong. Yet somehow the president still graciously decided to sit down with that network, with ABC, who, by the way, he sued for defamation and prevailed. They got another shot at being civil, not being weak, not being kind, just being fair. You're served, Terry Moran.
Do you think the reputation of the United States has gone down under your presidency?
About your methods, how you're accomplishing
this. Well, they seem to work.
He had MS-13 on his knuckles tattoo.
Oh, he had some tattoos that are interpreted that way. But let's move on.
Wait a minute. Terry.
That was Photoshopped. So let me
that
just...
That was Photoshopped. Terry, you can't do that.
You could get him back. There's a phone on this desk.
I could.
You could pick it up, and with all the power of the presidency, you could call up the president of El Salvador and say, send him back right now.
And if he were the gentleman that you say he is, I would do that.
But the court has ordered you to facilitate that.
I'm not the one making this decision.
But the buck stops in this office.
No. I follow the law. I know you're doing the interview. I picked you because, frankly, I never heard of you, but that's okay.
I picked you, Terry, but
you're not being very nice.
I don't think anybody has a problem with tough questions, but the interruptions, the dismissiveness has got to go. But it's the smugness, the impoliteness, the lack of respect that just isn't right, especially because the president, unlike Joe Biden, grants access to reporters all day, every day. I'm not saying you gotta give him easy questions, just direct ones. Maybe acknowledge some gains, ask to explain some of the setbacks. It's called balance. It's called respect for the office, at least. The networks didn't have it for 45. Why not try it for 47, especially if he gives you another shot? I think, after all, he has sacrificed for this country and deserves that. Keep in mind, Joe Biden never talked to Fox. Joining us now, Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Moen. Senator, great to see you. Your reaction to that ABC interview with Terry Moran. Back to the future, right?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise us. I mean, the president is being very transparent. As you said, Biden never sat down with Fox. Trump is taking the fight to the enemy's camp every single day. He's sitting down. He's very transparent. His cabinet hearings, our meetings are open to the public. He's constantly doing interviews. There was weeks upon weeks where Biden never even spoke to the press. He sits down with ABC, with CBS, with NBC. He does one-on-one meetings with them, and yet they completely dismiss him. And they just continue to spread their narrative about the president rather than, as you said, show a little bit of gratitude that he's at least willing to sit down and talk to you when he shouldn't.
Because you know when those doors close, they must be looking at each other and saying, he just shut down the border, 99% of the border. They said that was impossible for generations. You know, at least acknowledge that. And then when it comes to scooping up criminals, that's kind of a good thing, I always thought. Now, the major thing, it doesn't seem to bother President Trump that much, and he doesn't hold grudges to his credit. But now all the pressure is on you guys in the Senate and the House to come up and pass legislation, the so-called Big Beautiful Bill. I'm already seeing some divides. Not that that's unhealthy, but it definitely shows people that are getting uneasy. For example, when it comes to Medicaid, I saw that 19 in the House signed up, mostly the Freedom Caucus, and said, we expanded Medicaid too much. We got to rein it in. President Trump says we can't cut Medicaid. How do you square that circle?
Well, I think you need to, we've got to get people in the room and actually have a conversation with them. So what are we talking about when we're cutting Medicaid? Yeah, are we cutting Medicaid to people that have the benefits that qualify for it? Or are we trying to cut the waste and the fraud and abuse out of the Medicaid where some of these blue states are taking advantage of it? There's a path there that if we can get everybody in the same room, we can actually have a conversation, not go out and make assumptions, but be able to do deliver for the American people what the president has asked, what he's promised, and the promises that he wants to keep. I think there's a path forward here, Brian.
Right.
But people are going to have to sit down and talk. You know, let's use Chip Roy, for example. Chip sometimes comes out with some outlandish ideas, which is great, but he also comes up with some good ones every now and then. But he's wanting to raise corporate taxes. Well, that's a non-starter. But when we start talking about Medicaid, he actually has some ideas, but some of them may go a little far. But there's a point of how we can negotiate. We don't have to compromise our values,
right.
But we can negotiate and deliver one big, beautiful bill for the American people, and that's really focusing on the fiscal responsibilities
right.
and permanent taxes for us moving forward.
And possibly the biggest challenge is the Republicans who won in blue states like New York. Mike Lawler says, I have to raise the SALT tax. What is that? A deduction for local taxes, which are high. He said, if I don't do that, I'm going to lose. And you'll lose the House. How do you square that circle?
Well, you know, Mike's very passionate about this issue, and we've had hours of conversations with Mike about this, and he's not wrong. But at the same time, we can't allow New York to be able to offset their lack of responsibility by providing, you know, sanctuary cities and hotels and benefits for illegals.
I hear you.
By at the same time making landowners and homeowners pay for it. And the way they offset that is they want the American people or the taxpayers in Oklahoma, let's say, to offset that because they can now use their taxes or their property tax as a write-off. Well, that's not right either. But once again, this is something that, Brian, that we can find somewhere of a happy medium. But then at the end of the day, people right. in New York need to decide if they want to pay these higher taxes or not, or move to another state like Florida, which we've seen them do literally by the hundreds moving out of New York because of their high property tax. But I understand Mike's issue. Mike is very issue about it. By the thousands. All right. Well, I don't live there. I kind of like Oklahoma.
Senator Mark Waymon, always great. Thank you so much, sir. Have a great week. It's going to be a consequential one.
Thanks for having me on, Brian.
The fighting in the Iran-Iraq war has expanded, something that President Reagan said today threatens American interests in the Persian Gulf.
The Washington Post reported today that the Israeli air mission over Syria on September the 6th occurred after the Olmert government and the White House exchanged intelligence on the target, that the Israeli Defense Force also sent ground units into Syria that night.
That's what happened last time. Israel was told not to act on their own behalf. We told them not to act, but they have this thing called self-preservation. They acted. It is just a matter of time, I think, and some experts believe, before they act again when it comes to Iran, regardless of where our talks are at. Now it's time to bring in for the first time. I'm interviewing him with his new job. He's the ambassador to Israel, former Arkansas governor, and former full-time employee with Fox News, Ambassador Mike Huckabee. Ambassador, great to see you. Thanks for doing your first interview with us. Your reaction, you lived those moments when Israel took action on their behalf when nuclear programs started in Iraq and Syria. I can't imagine them sitting around much longer when it comes to Iran.
The reason they have an anxiety is because for 46 years, the Iranians have said they're going to destroy Israel. This is not something they just started talking about. They've done it since 1979. And, Brian, we got to remember, they also say once they get rid of Israel, they're coming after us. So I hope talks can result in something where Iran completely walks away from nuclear ambitions and realizes that both President Trump and the Israelis have said you're never going to have a nuclear weapon. The sooner they understand that, the better. I hope they come to their senses on that. But if they don't, President Trump, a week ago on Air Force One on the way to the Pope's funeral, made it very clear. Somebody asked him, are you going to let Israel drag us into a war? He said, nobody's going to drag us into anything. If Iran doesn't give up their nuclear ambitions, I'm not going to be drug into something. I'm going to lead something. So I think the president has made it clear, certainly the Israelis have, and we hope and pray for peace. But who knows what the Iranians will do? They've been consistent for 46 years, and it hasn't been good.
Ambassador, I have to tell you, our higher education is full of anti-Semitism, especially at the Ivies.
I imagine that's resonating also in Israel, and they fully realize this. There's a pro-Palestinian movement, anti-Semitic movement, that is financed from where you now work. And I wonder what that means to the people of Israel. Are they as concerned as President Trump is? And are they heartened that he's taking action, holding back their money, cracking down, and looking to deport the troublemakers?
Absolutely. You know, Brian, I think people need to understand just how much of a friend President Trump has been to Israel in his first term, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, where I work every day. He recognized Jerusalem as the undivided, undisputed capital of the Jewish people. He recognized the Golan Heights as sovereign territory of Israel. The Abraham Accords, step after step, he's a hero here, and he ought to be. But there's a little more to it in that right now there is a wave of global anti-Semitism that is irrational. And, you know, if you're a Jew in Israel, in fact, if you're a Jew anywhere, you have to be concerned that this level of, and I just call it crazy hate. It's not because the Jews have done anything to them. It's just because right. They're Jews. Right. Golda Meir said it best back in the 1970s when she said the reason we have a secret weapon is because we have nowhere else to go. And that's the way people in Israel feel.
Ambassador, how are you adjusting? How's your family adjusting? What is it like? You've done a lot of things in your life, but never anything like this.
I'm loving it. I'll tell you this. I'd rather live in Jerusalem than Washington, D.C. every day of the week and twice on Sunday. It's a wonderful city. People are hospitable and kind. I love the job. It's incredibly intense. I can't even begin to tell you that this is not a ceremonial ambassadorship. The biggest decisions I make have nothing to do with what kind of hors d'oeuvres are going to be served in the next social gathering. It is intense, but it's also incredibly rewarding because it's a place I've been coming to 52 years. Even my dogs are adjusting, and we're finding it a delightful place to live.
I knew you would not take a show horse job. You're a workhorse, and you want to be in the eye of the storm, and you're definitely in it. And they're lucky to have you, and we're lucky to have you over there. Ambassador, thanks so much. Great to see you. Let's stay in touch.
Love it, Brian. Thank you.
All right. We appreciate you coming on. Meanwhile, ahead on One Nation, a co-host quiz like no other. I'm in the hot seat against my one-on-one with Ainsley Earhart, hosted by Lawrence Jones. It's going to be exciting. But first, the media moments that matter with the legend himself, comedian, best-selling author Joe Piscopo. He has the honors and the VCR this week. Let's see what the tape shows. And catch me on stage where Joe is very comfortable, history, liberty, and laughs. I'm going to be in Dayton, Ohio with Fox Nation, June 21st, Victoria Theater. Dallas, Texas, August 23rd, Windspear Opera House, Don't Be Last. And in September, on the 27th, Dominion Energy Center, Carpenter Theater. I want to see everyone out in Richmond. Go to BrianKilmeade.com. VIP tickets available. Bring up the music. Let's go to break.
Want the effects that matter?
All right, it's everyone's favorite segment. Every week, I give out my company VCR. I give it the TV guide and the remote and a bunch of VCR tapes. And this week, I chose Joe Piscopo. One, because he's a great guy. Number two, his new book is out called Average Joe, The Memoirs of a Blue-Collar Entertainer. Joe Piscopo, I'm sorry to pull you off the road on the book tour, but I gave you the VCR. I gave you the tapes.
You did.
Right, and there's
your
book. I
got a book for you, and I signed it.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes.
I was going to buy it, and that would have been revenue in your pocket, but not anymore. Now I'll resell it, because Joe Piscopo signed it. So, Joe, you know, when I gave you the VCR on the assignment, I've talked to friends of yours. You did nothing else all week. All you did is watch everything.
Locked up.
Did you come up with anything?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I had to work the VCR first. You know what I mean?
It's been a while.
Huh? What button is this now?
So, and then, you know.
Then you had to play record.
So, you know, I don't want to say anything bad about anybody, but Chuck Todd at NBC, like, kind of blamed Joe Biden's mental decline on as a right-wing kind of
like it really didn't
initiative.
Have, like, they didn't ignore
you
the
know,
story.
And I don't, you know, on my morning show, I don't even talk about this, so it was refreshing to be able to do it. I don't know what they're thinking about. We knew the decline was there from day one. By the way, I don't want to say anything bad about Biden either, because we knew it. But now, what kind of cover-up? A cover-up? From day one, we knew he had a problem.
Well, you know, you said you taped it. I don't have proof of it. Do we have the tape? Can we listen? Let's go.
I have a real sort of problem with is this rewriting of history about whether the traditional media, whose fault is it that Joe Biden was politically stupid? Whose fault was it that a whole bunch of people around Joe Biden were numb to the fact that their candidate was even more unqualified in the public's eye than Donald Trump. This is not a media failure. This is a failure of the Democratic Party. This is an attempt by some to virtue signal, and it's this horrible sort of pitting different news organizations against each other, when ultimately the people at fault are Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Jill Biden, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, every elected member of Congress. The Democratic Party let that disaster happen.
All right, first off, Chuck Todd seems so angry that Trump won. Number two is, listen, there's two things. One's politicians, what's going to happen with their team is their team. But as a reporter, he was the anchor of Meet the Press for a long time,
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah.
As a reporter, just report that Joe Biden can't get off a stage.
Was that, was that NBC we were watching?
Oh, yeah, no, right. It was actually, he's on his own now because he left the network. But for him not to report, when he reported on the Russia hoax for 2-3 years,
yeah.
How could he blame the right wing?
Yeah, I don't know how people can watch it. And I think that's why he's not in NBC anymore, because even they see it now. You know what's frustrating to me is that a lot of these folks, I don't even play it on my show on the AM 970, the morning show, you know. I don't even play any of that. It's fun to do it here with you now. But you know why? Because this is the incidental media now. This is the irrelevant media.
Not
media
important.
Now. This is with Brian Kilmeade, you, Fox, everybody. We are the mainstream media now. Us Salem in the morning. Right. We're the mainstream media. Sometimes you don't want to play, but it's fun to talk about.
But I like when you said Brian Kilmeade and then others. You led with me, like I am the media, which in my small mind.
And I have a life hack for you too.
If you don't mind, absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, Arthur Anthony.
Arthur Lee's the best. But meanwhile, you also, I forced you to watch CNN.
Yes.
And you came up with a clip that outraged you.
It ain't easy. I'll tell you, it ain't easy.
Right. And let's go over to the White House and watch what's blurred.
The Trump administration is approaching its first 100-day mark with a full court press on the issue of illegal immigration, and they really don't want you to miss it. So they subtly and tastefully deck the White House North Lawn with dozens of yard signs featuring photos of people that the Trump administration claims are in the country, each poster saying arrested and listing the alleged offensive with which they have been charged. CNN's working to confirm the identities and if there are actual allegations against these people. Until then, we are blurring their identities.
So they think the president lied, made up pictures and fake murders and rapes to put him on the lawn. Do you believe this?
It was the best, man. Somebody tweeted something out really funny. They put pictures of Hillary, you know, of Obama, you know, right. of Brennan. Right. You know, that maybe that should have been on the law too. It was ridiculous that they did that.
Absolutely.
I have to make the point. Give me 15
ahead,
seconds. Don't show any of it. One day, Fox should be, you know, free of all the what was the mainstream media. They're not the mainstream media anymore. Donald Trump came in. We took over. We own it now. It's the golden age of America.
Lean in a second, Joe.
Go.
All right, ready? Yeah. If we start doing that, I won't have a segment.
Yeah.
I need this segment. Right? What's wrong
whack
with you?
Whack them all.
So listen, I found something really important. I'm going to take over this segment because you saved SNL along with this guy named Eddie Murphy.
Thank you, I found
it out in really looking over this book and talking to the archivist.
Thank you, bro.
Here's a great moment. The show's Joe and Eddie saving a classic series.
You love me as, say, one might love the state of Connecticut. Or the Liberty Bell, like you love the Liberty Bell. Or are you saying that you love me, you know, like a lover, like a man loves a woman?
I'm saying that I'm crazy about you, sir. I've been crazy about you ever since we met back in flight school, and I became an astronaut just so I can be close to you, and I volunteered for this trip so we can spend some time together. I love you, sir.
I'm gonna abort the mission, Bob.
You're making this very hard on me, Paul.
Well, I don't know what to do.
Love me back.
That is hysterical. What are your thoughts watching that?
You know, don't forget, he's like 19, 20 years old. Long Island's finest. I'm sitting.
So
right
you would be too old for him.
Yeah. Stop. You had to go there. Didn't you have to go there, right? You know, Brian, you're Long Island's finest. And you know what, Eddie, out of Hempstead, Long Island, man, it's just amazing to say the kick of my life. And we wrote about it in the book. And I give you all the inside line of Eddie Murphy and his pal Piscopo on Saturday Night Live. Back in the day when you're right, it was very tenuous back then. Very tough because because we had to save that show. And my people, we go like this, by the grace of God, we made it, you know.
You did. Yeah. It was a great, you know, how they different classes, that you had a great class. Pick up this book. You'll be inspired by it. Average Joe, the memoirs of blue collar entertainment. Joe Piscopo is still going strong with your great show in the morning. And great to see you.
Thank you, my
brother. And of course, on the weekend, too.
Yeah, thanks.
And he does impressions and Sinatra.
That's right. Sundays with Sinatra, Kill Me, 10 o'clock in the morning on WABC in New York, and Sundays with Sinatra.
Right, 10 to noon.
Just came back from there just now.
Thank you very much. With your permission, by the power vested in me, could I lock out now, or are you just going to keep talking, Joe? No. I thought you were professional.
You go ahead.
You were supposed to be a professional. That was your goodbye. All right. Thanks so much, Joe.
Great to see you. It's okay.
Democrats in disarray. Chuck Schumer could be in the crosshairs.
Oh, boy.
Amid an identity crisis in the party. Our political panel weighs in on that and more. Don't move.
Gary.
Welcome to Fox News Live. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer in New York. President Trump laying out his vision for the country in a new wide-ranging TV interview. He addressed fears of a recession and due process rights. Mr. Trump also making headlines for saying that he's not ruling out military force to take control of Greenland, citing strategic and economic reasons. He is also discussing his quest to make Canada the U.S.'s 51st state, though he doesn't believe military force will be needed there. But President Trump also added he now does not believe he will seek a third term. Jury selection begins in the coming hours in Sean Diddy Combs' highly anticipated federal sex crimes trial. The hip-hop mogul has spent the last 8 months in a New York City jail after being indicted on sex trafficking and racketeering charges. Now, if he's convicted on all counts, he could face life in prison. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer, and I'm back to One Nation with Brian Kilmeade.
You need an agenda. Did you hear? You're not united around what? Are we united around guaranteeing health care to all people? Are we united in tackling a corrupt campaign finance system?
What are the Democrats' biggest communications problems?
And far too many are still relying on the old tactics.
Chuck Schumer, he wrote a very strong letter.
With 8 strongly worded questions.
What more can you ask of a leader?
You left out that part.
That's exactly
right. If that's not going to make you shake in your boots, I don't know what is.
What's going on here? Dems aren't getting along with Dems. Chuck Schumer could be the next Democrat, the target of Bernie Sanders and Jen Psaki, don't pronounce the P, as they take aim at the future of their party, slamming the Senate minority's claim that the left is united. I don't think they agree with that. Joining me now on my panel, co-host of the podcast, What the Hell is Going On?, Fox News contributor, Washington Post columnist Mark Thiessen, and a senior fellow at AEI, Daniel Pletka. Danielle, have you ever remembered the Democrats so publicly divided?
They're certainly making a circus of it. I don't remember a time like this. Maybe 20 years ago or so, but their popularity is so low. They can't get along with each other, and they can't figure out what their message is. And they've got problems on every front, and I don't blame them for being mad at each other. Someone's got to get it together.
And you know what? There's a legitimate divide. It's not personal, Mark. They have a divide on which direction the party should be going. Bernie's like, I'm a socialist, and I got big crowds. And you have Chuck Schumer, who wants to pretend as if he's got the youth vote. And then you have David Hogg, who says, I want to get rid of all the old people.
Yeah, I've got a suggestion for them, not the direction they've been going for the last 4 years. That would be a good shift. Because, you know, you had Hakeem Jeffries the other day saying, this is the worst 100 days in first 100 days in American history. It's like, did you miss the previous 1,400 days? the worst inflation in 40 years, worst border crisis in American history, worst crime wave since the 1990s, worst foreign policy disaster in Afghanistan, first worst land invasion of Europe since World War II. I mean, it's not like they were actually, you know, crowning themselves in glory for the last 1,400 days. So shift direction.
Shift direction. Let's shift topics. This week, with all the crazy stuff going on with the GDP, the jobs numbers, Michael Waltz is out of his position. There's a big story that you're all over and very much a part of, and that's the mineral deal signed between the U.S. and Ukraine. Not only do we need the material, the rare earth material, I think Ukraine needs the partnership. They need a way to pay for the material and the weapons to be successful. Can you put in perspective for the layman, not all over this conflict like you are, what this means and why Russia is so upset?
Well, so what it means is that Russia's lost. They've lost the war because Russia wanted to invade and conquer Ukraine, and now the United States has gone into business with Ukraine. We are invested, not figuratively, but literally, in a sovereign, free, and independent Ukraine. We're going to have cranes. We're going to have earth movers in there. We're going to be doing business with them. And that's a huge defeat for Vladimir Putin because, we only make money off of this deal, and we only get the rare earths that we need because we don't want to be dependent on China for these rare earths. We only get those if Ukraine is a sovereign country. If Vladimir Putin comes in and takes over the country, he's not going to give us the money to pay us back for the weapons that we gave Zelensky to fight fight Russia. So this is a huge, this is almost as important as the peace deal itself.
Danielle, I think that Russia's got to pay the price if they think they're just going to walk away and embarrass President Trump by not even coming to the table legitimately looking for a way to stop the fighting. I don't think they're legitimately even putting an effort in here.
No, so you know what, Brian? The conclusion that I've come to about this is that the Russians actually believe the anti-Trump propaganda that they hear in the United States, right? They believe Trump is on their side. They believe Trump wants them to win. They believe Trump is on Team Putin. And, of course, when this happened, they were furious because the guy who they thought was their guy, because the mainstream media and the Democrats have been telling them that for years, suddenly betrayed them. This was amazing. And I totally agree with Mark for once that the Russians are basically the losers here.
I do, too. And I think one thing is pretty clear. The central bank's going to get sanctioned, and maybe the oil sales, people who buy it, are going to start paying the price and maybe not be able to do business with us. The same thing with Iran. Finally, on a fun note, Republicans, I'm going to say this, and people are going to think it's fiction, but Republicans are getting the Gen Z vote. I don't know how they're doing it, but in every poll, Mark, have you figured out why, for the first time in your lifetime, 22 to 29-year-olds are favoring Republicans over Democrats?
Well, so what's interesting about that poll is that the 22 to 29 are plus 6.4 for Democrats, but the 18 to 21 are plus 12 Republican. Why is that? The younger Gen Z, what was their formative experience? The COVID lockdowns. Their experience with government was shutting them out of their schools, forcing them into online school, forcing them to give up all their activities and their friendships and causing a mental health crisis. And then they got to college and saw the anti-American, anti-Semitic protesters take over their campuses and spew hatred and make it impossible for them to experience their college education. I think this younger generation of Gen Z has been radicalized by these experiences, and they're going to be the generation that saves us.
Real quick, Danielle.
So what I love about this is, first of all, this is a poll that comes from students at Yale University, number one. And number two, the way we saw it is that 18 to 21 being plus 12 Republican really means that being a conservative is the counterculture of the 21st century, which I think is amazing.
Right.
Amazing.
Well, thanks to you guys. I know what the hell is going on. I appreciate it. And have a fantastic week.
Tune in every week.
It's going to be consequential. Yes, thanks,
Maybe
guys.
You'll come on one day. Can we get you on the podcast, Brian?
I would love to. All I need is an invitation.
And don't cut this out.
It won't. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much. Meanwhile, next, the face-off you've been waiting for. Me versus Ainsley in the co-host quiz. Don't move.
Calm down at the...
I run hot when I sleep, and I think
it's an exciting time, and it's a very unique time. Normally, if you see a two-shot of me and Ainsley Earhart, you'd be thinking we're doing an interview. I'm going to interview you about a book or some special you're doing or a series, but it's going to be a little different now. It is time to do the co-host quiz. We're going to square off, but we need a host. Do you know anybody 6'5 that gets up every morning from 6 to 9 a.m. and is on Fox and Friends?
Lawrence Jones!
Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, Lawrence. Let's do it. This is exciting.
The Trump.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
You got to do the...
Right. Absolutely. Now, right. As host, I usually get right down to business.
Okay.
I don't go with all this jockeying around.
What is this? He's taking over already. He can't do it. Okay. Questions for Ainsley for ladies first.
Okay.
This is the question. When Brian travels on a plane, which seat must he have?
Oh, this is a good one.
Huh.
So it's aisle,
multiple
middle,
choice.
Or window.
Aisle, middle, or window.
Everyone loves the middle.
Huh? Let me. Can I call a friend, Lexi?
Chief of staff.
I so badly want to say middle, just because that's hilarious.
Well, I'm a middle child.
Oh, but, you want me to say that so that I will lose. But I'm not going to say middle.
What are you
going to
say?
I am going to say you probably... All right, let me think about your personality.
This is not hard.
I would like aisles so you can go to the bathroom, but you probably like windows so that you can stay to yourself and do your own thing. But you like the aisle because you like everyone to see you.
We're going
to
get...
Aisle. I'll say aisle.
Ding, 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 ding. That was good.
I knew it.
That was good.
You want everyone to see you and
Everybody
recognize
wants
you.
The aisle. Who would ever want the window? The guy falls asleep next to you.
Nice.
You got to hop over.
What if you want to sleep against the window?
Right.
What if you want to see the clouds?
No, I'd have to be drinking a lot to fall against the
window. I can help you.
I know.
It's your turn.
Okay.
Stop all the banter, okay? So which one of these jobs did Ainsley have growing up? And you get multiple choice. Camp counselor, babysitter, or dog walker?
I would say babysitter, babe. No, I could just see her responsible, looking to earn some money, get out of the house.
That's right?
You want to get out of the house?
Yeah.
You weren't on many athletic
teams,
is that correct?
You're going to get one.
I loved babysitting with the people who left me pizza money.
Right.
And they had a nice house.
How many kids could you handle at once as a team?
As many as they wanted to give me. I had the best time. I was a
Did
great
really?
Babysitter.
All right. At the wind data, because
I feel like y'all are learning each other right now.
Right.
This is incredible.
All right.
I get to,
so it's 1-1.
It's 1-1.
Heck of a start.
Okay, Ainsley, this is about Brian. In 1993, when I was 1 year old, Brian was part of the announcing team for the inaugural event of which sports organization?
Oh, soccer, of course.
You want to do, is it multiple choice?
That's not multiple choice.
And you are
wrong.
UFC.
It was the UFC. Can you believe
that?
The fighting championship. Your fiance loved UFC. You should be talking about me a lot.
All right.
I'll start doing that. I'll start talking with my fiance about another man.
What could go wrong?
It's going to go great.
Right.
I don't think you're going to like this question. This is for you, Brian. So which Fox host would Ainsley say she has learned the most from?
Oh, I know exactly what she's going to say.
It's for you.
Friends,
it's for you.
Friends host?
Oh, no, I know.
No,
I know exactly who you pick. I'm going to say you say Steve.
You're wrong. Are you crazy? This was an easy one. It's what? Sean Hannity. How did you not know?
No, it's Fox and Friends.
No, just Fox.
He said Fox and Friends.
Did I say Fox?
This is a problem with a rookie host. This is a problem with a rookie
Where did it go?
Wait a second. Did he say Fox and Friends or Foxer?
No, Fox host.
Oh, you said Fox.
Did I say Fox and Friends? No, I said Fox. They checked
the tape. They rewound the tape. Sorry.
Okay, look at this.
Everyone
but you know, she always defends Brian. It's unbelievable.
Everyone takes your side all the time.
No, Ainsley had your back, and y'all both were wrong.
Okay.
All right, so Ainsley, this is for you. I should give you an ant for that. So which actress did Brian make out with on the Curvy Couch? What? You did?
It's part of the job.
Like this. Like
how did you explain it to your wife?
Right.
It was Susan
she doesn't
Lucci.
Watch
oh, that's
they
true.
They made out, and they kissed.
Susan Lucci says it's 2-1. Right.
Lips.
And evidently, there's a trick to it. You put your hand like this.
Like this.
Right.
And then y'all made
and
out.
Yeah, no one has made
so
out
So did
with
you
me
tell Don before or after?
She doesn't get cable.
Oh, wow.
At home. She has no idea what I do for a living.
Did you go home? There it is.
There you go.
Oh my God.
Did you see that?
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That looks very real.
Right. Hey, thank you very much. I know. And that went right to all my children.
If you told me that was fake, I would not believe you.
Really? No. That's how
she
good
was
I am.
Still, pressed up against you.
Yeah.
It was her goal. I mean,
it was like body to body.
This happens
body
a lot.
To body. That was skin to skin.
A lot
that
of women.
That was chest to chest.
The only thing that stopped us, we ran
it's
out
like
of time.
Like a baby and her mother.
Okay, we're going to run out of time real soon. Okay, if Ainsley were stuck on a desert island, what's the first thing she'd complain about? Oh, this is good.
Oh,
this
is my
so God.
She's stuck in a desert island. I would say.
This is so funny.
I would say.
This is so good.
No makeup.
Are you kidding me?
That might be a nice break.
You complain about this every single day. It would be no space here.
Oh, that's what am I
it's
saying?
Incredible.
Even in the Caribbean.
Yeah, but you got to think in a desert island, there's no electricity.
It's incredible.
Battery operated.
Battery operated.
That was just
either.
Bad.
All right, that was bad.
I did that
All right.
for you.
What's the score?
So, Brian.
Wait, you haven't been
you got one.
The score.
I have. You guys have just been doing so bad.
I got
Ainsley got two, and Brian has one.
Okay.
All right, so this is one for you, Ainsley. So, Brian loves coffee, drinks it every morning on the Fox and Friends set. But there's a special coffee he gets in his hometown. What's the secret ingredient? Mm. This is
God,
weird.
He likes so much stuff. Sometimes it's chai tea, sometimes
weirdo.
It's the pumpkin, whatever they have, sometimes it's the Easter eggnog, sometimes it's the Christmas spectacular.
Ooh.
I don't know what the heck this answer is. All right, read the question one more time.
Okay, so he
What's
loves coffee,
ingredient?
But there's a special coffee down. He gets in his hometown. What's the secret ingredient?
The Massapequa matzo ball spice.
It's peanut butter.
It's peanut butter.
So what was that?
By the way.
Because he says he lives in Massapequa and it's matzo pizza.
Yeah, because what, half Jewish, half Italian.
Half Italian.
But I would say this. Who told you that?
I don't know.
I mean,
right?
You must have called my You must have called my ass because I only get peanut butter in Massapequa.
Really?
Great research.
Wait,
you're a great.
I think it was Lexi.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You have a team of researchers.
Lexi,
you need a team of researchers.
Oh, that's true. Oh, wow.
Brian.
By the way, very well done.
You need a team of researchers.
You do. You need. And, okay, all right. This is the final question for Brian. If Ainsley had to survive on only one fast food chain for a year, what would it be? Chick-fil-A, Waffle House, or McDonald's?
Oh, my God.
One, I would just say, well, if she has to eat on Sunday, she'd be in trouble.
True. I would fast.
I'd say Waffle House.
That's Sean's favorite.
You're wrong. It's Chick-fil-A.
And Chick-fil-A.
You should have known that.
I don't eat a lot of fast food, but
the
if
Christian
I had to,
it would have been Chick-fil-A.
I know. I should have done.
And I love them because they are closed on Sunday.
So what's the final score, Lawrence?
Well, Ainsley, 2. Brian is 1.
All right, so Lawrence, great job. Thank you so
great
much for hosting.
Ainsley won.
Ainsley,
she
you
gets
get a choice
two.
Of your Brian Kilmeade apparel.
Again, she gets
what
two.
Do you want?
What?
You already have my mug. This
so
is going to be
maybe
two
a shirt.
For you.
Should
you
I
want
get
a shirt? Can we pop it up?
Should I get two mugs?
Can we pop it up?
Let me see.
There
what
we
do
go.
You think I should get? You pick for me.
How about an adjustable hat? Sean has something to wear around the house.
Okay, what does it say?
Right?
Brian Kilmeade?
It says One Nation with Brian Kilmeade.
One Nation. Okay.
With Brian Kilmeade.
Let's do that.
A red hat.
Go for it. Thank you. Beautiful.
All right. Maybe next time, Brian.
Lock us out.
All right. We'll see y'all. We'll be right back.
Mom G.
Before you go, your sneak peek of the week. You ready? President Trump to meet with Canada's Prime Minister, Mark Carney, just won a big election. He'll be at the White House. Pretty sure that he campaigned against Trump. That should be tense. Expect movement in Trump's big, beautiful bill this week. The Ways and Means Committee and the Energy Committee need to meet to prep their sections, and someone's got to compromise. And let's talk religion. The conclave to elect a next pope. Pope Francis' successor begins on Wednesday. Look out for the white smoke. And Paramount begins mediation with Trump's legal team over the edited Kamala Harris 60 Minutes interview, which, by the way, was nominated for an Emmy. And jury selection to begin for Sean Diddy Combs. He turned down a last-minute deal. That is it for us tonight. Tune into my radio show every single day, 9 to noon. There's going to be a quiz, BrianKilmeadeShow.com. Catch me on Fox and Friends from 6 to 9. In a couple hours, I'll jump in the shower, change, and actually keep the hair the same way. Follow me on social media just about everywhere, on Facebook, on X, and on the Culper Club on Locals. And I ask, and I have to end with this simple phrase, to make sure you have a successful week, stay within yourself. See you next time.
It is time to take the quiz.
It's 5 questions in less than 5 minutes. We asked people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox. Then come back here to see how you did.
Thank you for taking the quiz.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.